All right, well, let's get to today's lesson is praying for rain. It's the fourth in a four-part series. This is the last one that we'll be talking about. And what we have been discussing for the past 4 weeks are how do I live out the reign of Jesus in my life? How is that expressed? Oftentimes we find ourselves, if we're not careful, we get a little academic and we talk about the facts of the kingdom. We talk about the fact that Jesus is King of Kings. And we talk about, you know, all the evidences that show it in the Bible, and we establish the fact of his kingship. And then we'll talk about the fact that he has a kingdom. He established it in Acts chapter 2, and we talk about the facts of the kingdom, and we establish that there is indeed a kingdom, and there are citizens in that kingdom. What we can, if we're not careful, what we can miss is not the fact of the kingship of Jesus and the kingdom that he reigns over, but how does that play out in your life, and how does he reign in you? It's one thing to say, I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ is my king. But what does that practically mean? How does he reign in you? You know, there are citizens in the United States that are as rebellious and unlike the laws of this nation as can possibly be. They're rogue citizens. I don't want to be a rogue citizen in the kingdom of God. I want to be in compliance. And so Jesus needs to reign in me. And I need to embrace that and welcome that and find pleasure in letting my life be a vessel that is filled up with him. And I might do his work and show him to other people. Well, that's what we've been discussing, is we've been talking about praying for rain. How can we pray that to let Jesus reign in our life? Matthew chapter 6, again, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's our desire to let the kingdom, the reign of Christ, be governed in this fashion. Thy will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven. I know how God is honored in heaven. There's no question. He is the one. He has all authority. And the angels recognize that. His will is done in heaven. Is his will done on earth? Sometimes. Well, the prayer of Jesus is, let me reign in you on earth as I do in heaven. And that's what we're trying to do. If Jesus reigns in us on earth, what changes will that make in my life? Well, here's the final change that I wanted to talk about. There are many, but these are the four that we wanted to discuss. And that reign of Jesus in my life results in a new way of speaking. Our language is different. There is a psychological phenomenon called first language attrition. I hadn't heard a lot about it, but I began reading about it this past weekend and looked at some things. And it's particular to those who learn more than one language. And you can have a native language that you've learned from the time you were a little baby, listening to your mother and father. You don't even remember learning it. It was ingrained. It's what you learned as a child, your first language. And you can so be immersed in another culture and in another language somewhere else and have such little contact to that language that you once knew how to speak, that was the only way you knew how to speak. You can find yourself forgetting how to talk, how to speak your own language. For those of you who only speak English, can you imagine ever forgetting how to speak English? Can you imagine there being a time when you started studying a foreign language and you mastered it to the point that, and you used it to the point that you began to forget how to say simple sentences in English? That's just hard to even comprehend. But that phenomenon is called first language attrition. And it happens when you make a change in the language that you speak, you begin to forget and leave behind your former language. Maybe you've talked to people that were raised. Not long ago, I was talking to a lady that was raised in Germany, and it was the language she spoke until she was about 5 years of age. It's all she knew. That's what she spoke. But she's been in America for so long now that she's almost forgotten many of the expressions and ways to say, to speak in her native language. It's just a strange phenomenon. But it ought to be characteristic of the child of God. I mean, there's a way that we speak when we're just who we are. But when we give our lives to Jesus, there should be a change. And that change should be so ongoing, and we should be so saturated with it that through the process, it doesn't happen overnight, but through the process of time, we forget about the way we used to talk. We forget what it was like to speak a different language. I've told you and shared this with you before, but I'll share it again, but I'll never forget. It was just a learning experience for me. When I was in college, I was interning in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, with Stephen Rogers, which many of you know. And we went to a store one day, and there was a member of the church there at the counter. It was some kind of an automotive store. And we were standing there, and we got to talking about cars. And then this man, he was frustrated with his vehicle. He's having to buy a part, and he was mad, angry. And then, man, he let out with this oath. I mean, it was a string of words. And I was just like, oh, I can't believe. He just said that to the preacher and to a guy that's wanting to learn how to preach. And I was just taken back by that. And it got quiet. It was that awkward silence and embarrassing. And the guy was embarrassed, I'm sure. And we got back in the car. And my first reaction was, Stephen, can you believe that guy said what he said? Man, I thought, he's a member here where we were working. And Stephen's response was, you need to cut him some slack. You wouldn't believe how much progress this man has made. He hasn't shed at all. But man, this guy has come so far. You need to take that into consideration. I have never forgotten that. Because speech habits are hard to break, are they not? I mean, have you ever been in that or have had that background and you come to Christ and you're trying to whip the devil and you're trying to bring that tongue under control, but those old ways of talking creep up and sometimes embarrass the life out of you. As we mature in Christ, that old way of speaking begins to atrophy. It begins to become a part of us that we hardly even remember. I know we would like for it to just stop like that on a dime, but it doesn't. It's a process. But let's be sure that no matter where we are, we're growing in this process. And that's all about the reign of Jesus. Does Jesus affect the way you speak? Is his reign having influence on you forgetting your old way of speaking and adopting a new language to speak? In fact, doesn't the Bible tell us that we're radically different when we obey the gospel? We're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We rise to walk in newness of life from the watery grave of baptism. So there is a change in language when we let Jesus reign in us. We won't be perfect. Well, we can't be perfect because James tells us you'll never master this tongue. It'll get the best of you. I mean, when you think you've got it licked, it comes up and it says something that you'd rather it not have said. We have to fight it. We have to bridle it. We have to bring it into subjection because if you don't, it'll destroy you, James chapter 3. And so while we'll never master this, these are some things that ought to be true in our life if Jesus is reigning in us. Here's the first thing. Here's how our language will change under the reign of Jesus. Number one, we're going to be speaking more truthfully. Number of years ago, it has been 20 years ago now, but I don't think the stat would be much different. But there was a book written entitled The Day America Told the Truth. One of the authors was a man by the name of Peter Kim. They did a broad survey across the entire nation and asked people moral questions and said, tell the truth in your answer. And they all answered truthfully. And there was a number of things about, just all kind of things about how they conduct moral affairs. Well, one of the statistics that I thought was alarming was that from that book, they were asked, do you lie regularly? 91% of a cross-section of people across the country said, yes, we lie, I lie regularly. Not once in a while, but regularly. Wow, that's disturbing to me. Because when I want to take my car down to get something fixed, I don't want things made up. I know nothing about vehicles. And when I go to the store to buy a computer, I don't want somebody trying to sell me something I don't need, but they make it sound like I do. And when, you know, on and on we go, people, if they lie to you, you know, we're vulnerable. I'd like to know that when I deal with people, especially in religion, that I'm dealing with people that are going to tell me the truth. And to be honest, the reign of Jesus will do that to you. In fact, we need his reign when it comes to our speech. We need to be truthful. If we don't have truth, we don't have integrity. If people can't trust us, if we get caught lying, people are going to look at us and say, and you want me to change my life? To do what you say we're supposed to do. How do I know you're telling me the truth? You're not known for your integrity. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. We've been looking at many passages from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, as we talk about the reign of Jesus. But there's one section beginning in verse 33. Jesus says, again, you've heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, don't swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make your hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. When you were a kid, did you ever ask somebody to do something and say, maybe you broke something and you're talking to your sibling and you say, don't tell mom. And they'll say, okay, I won't. And then you say, promise. You say, we have to follow up. Promise. Why do we have to say promise? Because that's an assurance we're looking for. There's your word and then there's this something more. Jesus said, you shouldn't have to say more. You don't have to say, I promise. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they had mastered the deception, the art of speech. And, well, if you swore by the temple, you didn't have to do it. But if you swore by the gold of the temple, then you had to perform your oath. If you swore by the altar, you didn't have to do it. But if you swore by the gift on the altar, you had to perform your oath. Have you ever heard anybody say something along this line? I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on a stack of Bibles. And people have their expressions to heighten the truthfulness of what they're going to say. But they had developed a system where if you weren't on the inside and you didn't know the way they talked, they'd fool you. It's kind of like what we do with this. You remember doing this? Have you ever done that? Cross your fingers. Oh, I promise I won't tell, but I've got my hand behind my back and my fingers crossed. So that means I'm free to say whatever I want. I can tell you I won't do or I will do whatever, but if I have that finger crossed, or I might decide and get a little tricky and just stand here on one foot and cross my legs, and that counts too. You know, I don't have to keep my word because I got my legs crossed right here. We come up with, they came up with things like that. They'd say, listen, I swear on the temple in Jerusalem that I will do this for you. And they'd walk away saying, got one on them. I don't have to do that. If I'd sworn on the gold of the temple, I would have, but I didn't say that. Jesus was so fed up with all that, he said, quit swearing falsely. Speak the truth. And can't you see why? We are vessels of God. He's given us the gospel. We have to take this news to people. We have to tell them a story about Jesus. And if we're known as liars and untrustworthy and men and women with no integrity, why would anybody believe what we have to say? If you're a man of integrity, that you mean what you say and you fulfill your promises and your word is your bond, and then you come and say, this is what I've learned about Jesus, people will be more likely to listen. If Jesus reigns in your life, you're going to learn to speak more truthfully. It's essential. Another thing you'll learn to do is you'll speak more lovingly. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, we're told to speak the truth in love. Also in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. The way we talk to others ought to be such that it promotes goodwill. It doesn't egg on a fight. It doesn't try to get under somebody's skin. It doesn't try to annoy and provoke another to anger, but rather to love. When Jesus spoke, he broke people. People who might have otherwise been opposed to him, people who sometimes came to oppose him and to trap him, and they left saying, never a man spake like this before. I've never heard anything like it. He wasn't about hurting people with his words. He was about lifting people up, speaking the truth. Sometimes we can speak the truth and it sounds like we're glad that people are lost. I'm right and you're wrong. You know, that kind of an attitude. That's not what Jesus says. He says, speak the truth in love. If Jesus reigns in us, when I get to the point where I'm saying, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and when it comes to my speech, I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to speak with love. I don't want to hurt people with the truth. I don't want to be... Let me give you an example. There was a lady I know who had opportunity to talk to another family. This other family had some trouble with one of their grown sons. And he had chosen a lifestyle that was a mess. And he hadn't been back around in a long time. And this woman knew that, and she had heard the latest story about their son. And so you know what she did? The first time she had an opportunity in a public gathering, she said to those, that mother and father who were broken over their son's choices, so what's your boy up to lately? And she took pleasure. After it was all over with, she told another person and told that she took pleasure watching them squirm. All she did was ask a question. She didn't tell a lie. She didn't use bad words. She didn't speak in love. She didn't speak with grace. She, instead of protecting those people, brought to light a very painful thing in their life. She wasn't looking out for their good. People who let Jesus reign in them seek the good of others through their words. Look at a third thing. When we let Jesus reign in us, not only will we speak truthfully and more lovingly, but we will also be slower to speak. Have you ever had those knee-jerk reactions? Have you ever had a fight not saying something that is maybe warranted, but probably the timing, it's not going to be effective. It's just going to make somebody mad. And so not to say what you're going to have to say, you bite your tongue, you hold your peace, and you go your way, and it's one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do, but sometimes you have to do it because Jesus reigns in you. You don't want to fight. You want peace. You want harmony. And so you speak more slowly. James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak. slow to wrath. I think of Nehemiah, how Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, how he was doing the work of God. They're trying to rebuild the walls, and he has enemies trying to knock it down and or telling them, don't build it. And they thought of every way that they could think of to try to stop it. Finally, they said, okay, we'll tell people, if you're rebelling against the king, if you don't stop, we're going to tell them that you're trying to build this fortress so you can fortify yourself and fight against the king. And if you don't stop, that's what we're going to tell. Nehemiah didn't stop working and build a campaign to defend himself and his honor. He kept on working and let his reputation stand on its own. And that's what we need to do. Those who are letting Jesus reign in them, they need to be slower to speak. Quit worrying about defending yourself. Let God defend you and listen more. There are things we can learn. Even when people are upset or angry, there are things that we can learn by listening. Those who have the rule of Christ, the reign of Christ in their life, they will speak more slowly. Listen, gather facts before they come to conclusions. They'll listen less critically. In Philippians 2 and verse 14, the Bible says that we're to do all things without murmuring and disputing. And that's hard. Sometimes, you know, it's just sometimes easy to grumble and complain. And I think maybe some people's dispositions are more in that line, and it's harder for them to fight that. But again, it goes back to that first language attrition. As I'm letting Jesus reign in me, I'm going to forget more and more of the way it used to be, because I have adopted a new language, a new way to live. And then last, we'll speak words that heal rather than words that wound. It's like what I was talking about a little bit ago. That woman who asked that question about the son, her intent was to jab and twist. That's why she said what she said, by her own admission. She wanted to watch that couple squirm. If Jesus is living and reigning in you, that won't be the case. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication or speech come out of your mouth. But listen, but that which is good to necessary edification, that your words may impart grace. I don't want to hurt people by my speech. I don't want to hurt the church by my speech. I want to impart grace. I don't want to tear down. I want to build up. That's what the reign of Christ will do in your life. Now, does that mean there's never a time to speak critical words? Does that mean there's never a time to rebuke or reprove or correct? Well, of course not. Those two are things that we need to do, but they need to be done in a loving way and in a way that is beneficial and not detrimental to the cause of Christ. What we need to allow is Jesus to reign in us. That's what we've been doing for the last 4 weeks, is trying to just bring focus, not to the facts that Jesus is king, not to the fact that he has a kingdom, but to the expectations of his reign. What does that mean for me? How can I let Jesus reign in me? By the way we love, by the actions, by doing good, by our speech. Those are ways we show the reign of Christ. I want to encourage you as we bring this lesson to a close. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 reminds us, one time the disciples were there and some people saw them and were around them enough to know that they said, you know what, these men, they have been with Jesus. I know they have. Wonder how they knew. I wonder how people know today if we have been around Jesus. Can people listen to our lives and listen to the way we speak and the way we conduct ourselves? And is it different enough to let people see that Jesus reigns in us? It doesn't have to be a situation where they check some certificate that I have that says, see right there, it says I was baptized on June 1st, 1967 or whatever. I don't have to prove it from a certificate. I prove it from my life. I'm His. He's mine. He is my King. He reigns in me. And we need to not dread it, not mope about it. We need to embrace it with childlike enthusiasm that Jesus can live through me and that my life, as fallible as it is, can be used as a vehicle to His glory. Let's live out the reign of Christ in our lives, in this community. Let's fill this building with people who are impressed with Jesus and want to know more about Him because they've seen and they've heard you. That's what the reign of Jesus is about. If you're not yet a part of the kingdom of God, if Jesus is not yet your king, then you need to become a citizen and begin to allow Him to reign in you. And you do that through your faith in Christ, turning from your sin and being baptized into Christ. If you haven't done that and need to do that this morning, we'll assist you in that. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and maybe you haven't lived out His reign, maybe all you have right now going for you is I've got this certificate that says I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God from the day I was baptized. If that's all you got going for you, maybe you need to rethink who you are and who you're living for. Let Jesus reign in you. We'll pray to that effect if you'll come as we stand together and sing.